in case you haven't guessed by now, today is the Feast of Christ the King. If you were paying attention at all, you might have caught that. What you might have noticed, especially since Father Brian forgot to change to white this morning, that this is a time of transition in the church. Today is also known as the last Sunday of Pentecost. And it's been Pentecost for a long time. I want you to know it is always Pentecost. Although we focus sometimes on other things, you know, although we are shifting now into a new season, we still live in the season of Pentecost. So just sometimes people get confused. We don't leave that aside as we enter into this next area of our church year. I happen to be somebody who delights in the church year. It has a certain rhythm to it. It makes a lot of sense. It forces us to be full gospel Christians. You know, it would be really easy to just focus on one time of Jesus' life or one part of his teaching. But because of the church year, what we find ourselves doing is like going in and sitting down at, you know, at one of the albums. They used to keep pictures in albums. For those of you that used to do this, you understand that. Now that it wasn't always digital, you know, and you used to be able to sit down and look at the story together, and as you did it, you found yourself living again some of those experiences. It's quite a powerful thing to do as a family. And we do that in the Christian church. You know, we go and we go through the album of Jesus' life every year. And we start right from the beginning, you know, from the scriptures that point to his coming. And we look at ourselves dwelling a little bit in the Old Testament scriptures that prophesied the coming of the Messiah. But at the same time, we get a little bit confused because we're also at that time focusing on the promise that Jesus not only came at Bethlehem, but he's coming again. And he's coming again as Christ the King of glory. And so what we do is we get him in the fullness of the majesty of Jesus, but today is a day of culmination. It's a day of great joy. It's a time where we celebrate who Jesus is, who the Father is, how it all fits together, because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it says that he will come to judge. Oh, gosh, why do they use words like judge? They're probably going to be talking about sin next thing, you know? You know, ugly things. And the fact of the matter is, you find that it's woven through the story because Jesus, you know, when he comes again, he is judging the living and the dead. And it's that's a promise. Now, the great news is for those of us that follow Jesus, we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior. We have him as our defense attorney. And we also have him as our judge. We're in good shape, you know. This is a good deal. And what he's going to say, yeah, he messed up a lot, but guess what? You know, I've covered up all those sins. We've cast them in the sea of forgetfulness. And so we have this amazing time that the judgment is not something for Christians to fear. It's a time of graduation, of celebration, of that moment of the fullness of time comes together as a time of great victory for the people of God. And so today we have this day where we set aside to remember who Jesus really is. Because we're going to ask you to take part of your mind starting next week and kind of step back and remember that at one time they didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah. They knew the Messiah was coming. There were prophecies of his coming. And there were all these things that were pointing forward toward him. But they were without him. We don't ever have to go there. We know who he is. We need to dwell. We dwell in the Spirit. We dwell in the wonderful gift of his lordship all of the time. I like days of celebration. I like days where we set aside and say, wow, we worship a great and mighty and powerful king. You know, not a little baby. Something dependent and in the manger. You know, this is a day of a celebration of glory and majesty and power. You know, and sometimes we have to remember that. Because you see, we're on the winning team. Some of you forget that sometimes. It doesn't look that way. You know, many times we lose battles along the way. But we know who wins in the end. And we are the ones that are on the winning team. And so we celebrate that. And today's a day of great victory. Now, it's possible if you don't read all of God's Word, if you don't study His whole Word, and you go in and you grab a scripture out of the text and form a whole belief system out of it, with today's gospel, you could make the mistake of thinking that you could earn your salvation. You can't do enough good works to earn your salvation. Jesus did the good work, which it gives us the wonderful gift of our salvation. Until we are redeemed, we are told that the things that we think are good works are as filthy rags in the eyes of God. It's only a redeemed person doing the things that are mentioned here today, you know, which God says, well done, good and faithful servant, because they are things that are without compromise. They're without things that when we do them, we're wondering, what can I get out of this? You know, we have fallen natures. And there's this temptation that when we do something, we want to get a benefit for it. We want to earn a right. Our son, Eric, was an Eagle Scout. And we stumbled across all of his badges and all this kind of stuff. As people, we love badges. We love them. We want to be recognized for those wonderful things we do. And we find out that we can't do enough good things to earn our salvation. But we don't have to. That's the good news. Jesus did it all. And so we can celebrate this. We worship a mighty King, a mighty God. And what He does is He takes us humble, fallen people. And He transforms us and renews us and makes us righteous and holy people in God's sight. And He does that by His powerful Spirit coming and working within us. God is a mighty God moving in His people. And today, I encourage you to remember who we are. We're winners in Jesus. Sometimes you might forget that, but you might want to put it on your bulletin, on your mirror if you need to. I am a winner. I stumbled across a book a long time ago. You know, it talks about you know, how you could win, you become rich, right? Think and Grow Rich was the book, right? You know, it's an interesting thought, but what we're told about is our thought life as Christians can be redeemed. God can give us the power to have control over our thoughts. He tells us the kinds of things we can focus on. And, you know, when you find yourself dwelling in negativity and all these ugly things, He says, is there anything lovely? Is there anything true? Is there anything worthy of praise? All this wonderful thing. He says, think about these things, not the junk of this world. And He says, and the God of peace will be with you. So if you don't have His peace, get your thought life turned around. And the one who does that is God's Spirit. He comes in and He transforms us and renews us and makes us more and more like Jesus. And when that happens, we find ourselves doing Jesus kind of stuff. And we become the sheep in the story. You know, by the way, God doesn't hate goats. You do understand this. This is not a judgment on goats. I mean, I think it's very important, Jane. I want to make sure you understand. This scripture has nothing to do with goats. God loves goats, you know? Yes, yes. This is an illustration, by the way, of what it is that God is saying is there is a time of separation, a time of choice. And he uses as an illustration what shepherds used to do, you know, when they were preparing to go to market. They had to make these separations because, you know, it changed how they marketed the wonderful, sheep and goats. It was a whole different thing. They had a different value system there. And so we used it as an illustration. But our God is talking about people. And he's talking about people in need of salvation. And if we've accepted Jesus, and we've accepted him as our Lord and our Savior, our glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he'll make us more and more like him. Let's pray. Oh, Lord our God, we thank you and praise you for these days of celebration, these times of reminder of who you really are. We repent, Lord God, that we don't always remember who you are. We know you are a great and a mighty God. And we ask you, oh, Lord God, to reveal yourself in your fullness to all of your people, that they might be filled with your love and with your transforming glory and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.